Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Kristen Phillips Hill, and today we are talking about women's sports, fairness, and the future of female athletes, because right now we're at a turning point. What happens when the opportunities that women fought for are at risk? When female athletes who train their entire lives find themselves outmatched in their own category? So I am so thrilled to be joined here today by Paula Scanlon, former NCAA swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania, someone who has lived this reality. And she chose to speak up even when it wasn't easy. So Paula, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Paula, I want to start with a simple but I think really important question. If you could go back to your very first day as a collegiate athlete and warn yourself about what was coming, what would you say?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I would tell myself, to always stay strong in what you believe in. I think that's really what this whole thing came down to. It wasn't even necessarily about the fairness or being uncomfortable or feeling unsafe. It was really about feeling courage to say what you believe and what you know to be true and what you know to be the truth. And I think I would have just given myself a few words of encouragement about that and just know that it is worth it and that speaking up and telling the truth and standing by on what you believe in is always worth it.
I really appreciate hearing that. I think people see this issue as headlines or hashtags or policy debates. But for female athletes, it's really deeply personal. It's about identity. It's about purpose. And when fairness in sports disappears, so does hope.
Definitely. And I think that the biggest thing I saw, not even just for myself, but for those around me, it was a lot of us felt like there was no hope. We felt like there was nothing we can do. Our administration told us that we were the problem, told us that there was nothing we could do about it. And for a lot of people, the easier thing to do was to just give up and to say, well, there's nothing I can do about it, so I might as well not be upset about it. And that's actually when you need to fight harder. And not just for this issue, but for all issues, is that's what I encourage everyone to do. It's when you feel like it's time to give up, that actually means it's time to try harder and fight harder and just work harder at it. And again, that's really how I got to where I am. It was just, I knew something was wrong and I couldn't stay quiet about it. And I spoke up, and so many other female athletes have now spoken up as well. And it's really been because of all of our work collectively and partners like you and other legislators that we've been able to make the progress we have. We're not done yet, but we've made so much progress even in a couple of years talking about this issue.
I think for me as a policymaker, as someone who was a high school athlete, who raised a daughter who's an athlete, it's heartbreaking. And I think we've said this before, it isn't about the medals. It's about the message that we are sending to young girls. What I appreciate about what you have said is you are sending a really strong message of hope. Be strong, stand clear in your convictions, and never give up. So let me ask this. If you were sitting across from someone who says, this doesn't affect me, why should I care? How would you respond?
Well, that's the thing about this issue is so many people have said, well, I'm not an athlete, so this doesn't affect me. Why can't you just let people live their lives? It doesn't harm you. I will say this issue affects everyone because either you are a woman or you know a woman. You have a woman in your life. This issue is so much further than just fairness in sports and competition and what you see on the podium. The images a lot of people see from this issue, and probably the most famous one, is really Leah Thomas on that NCAA podium next to the female athletes. What's not pictured in that photo is the athlete who placed ninth in the morning, who was denied the opportunity to compete in the finals and stand on that podium. And what's not pictured is the athlete who placed 17th that was denied the opportunity to even compete at all. There's a swimmer at Virginia Tech, Reka. She placed 17th in her event and was denied the opportunity to score points, to be an All-American, and to compete in finals because of Leah Thomas. And she was nowhere to be seen on the podium because she was denied the opportunity to compete altogether. And it's a lot of those silent faces that people don't see. And the other aspect of this issue is the locker rooms and the bathrooms and the privacy and the female athletes who are going to quit because they don't want to deal with this. Those athletes aren't going to be seen anywhere on the podium, or their stories aren't going to be elevated because they said enough was enough and they just didn't want to deal with it anymore. And so really, truly, this issue affects all women. All women should care about it, and all men should care about it too, because again, everyone has a woman in their life.
I don't think I could have said it any better. I mean, that's what I have been clearly trying to articulate to colleagues, being able to make sure that our daughters and our granddaughters have a spot on the roster, have an opportunity to reach that medal podium, to become an All-American. I mean, that's a really life-changing experience. And I hear these people argue, well, you know, what's the big deal? You know, it's just one or two athletes. But you and I both know, even when one biological man is competing in a female category, it changes the entire dynamic and creates a cavalcade of events. So I want to ask you something a little different. What's the part of the story that no one is talking about? What do people not see? What's that behind-the-scenes experience that we're not aware of?
You know, I think that the biggest thing I saw with this issue was really how we got here, and we got here because so many people have stayed silent about this. I mean, I think even now, looking forward to where we are in 2025, we've made a lot of change, but what people didn't see back then is how many people agreed that this was wrong and still stood by it. And I think that that's really damaging. Again, I have so many teammates that were on the team with me that believed what I believed, that have the same opinions as me, and yet they chose to stay quiet and pretend to be supportive of it. People who do that are part of the problem. And I think that that's why it's so important that you say what you believe, that you stand up for what you believe in. And if you know that it's wrong, you say something. And that doesn't just go for this issue. That really goes for everything. And that's, I think, how we got to where we are. Again, so many people that just knew that it was the wrong thing but stayed quiet. And the adults in the room, coaches and administrators at the NCAA, and even Democrat politicians that know that this is wrong. I can't tell you how many people come up to us and say, well, I agree with you, but please don't tell anyone that I think this. Or professional athletes that also agree and are afraid to lose sponsors and don't want to speak out against this. I mean, that's, again, really how we got to where we are. And it's time to speak up. I mean, there's really nothing else to be said about it. You have to speak up or you're part of the problem.
Well, I think that's exactly why we introduced Senate Bill 9, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, because this legislation is about safeguarding opportunities. It's about ensuring that girls and women can compete on a fair playing field, or in your case, you can compete fairly in a pool without being sidelined by policies that ignore biology. You know, I was a PIAA certified swim official, and I remember a woman who had been the state rules interpreter for over 40 years. And she said to me, lesson number one, after I was certified, she was a force to be reckoned with. She said, your job is to check your ego at the door and make sure that every swimmer has a fair shot to do well in this pool. And you've been denied that fair shot of being able to compete in that pool. Now, some critics have said that this bill is unnecessary or even mean-spirited. What do you say to that?
Well, it's not unnecessary or mean-spirited to say that women deserve protection and deserve safety. I mean, I think that this issue goes so much deeper than even fair competition. I mean, we've seen cases of girls being permanently injured by male athletes competing on women's sports teams. A story I always like to bring up is the story of Peyton McNabb, who's actually a good friend of mine now. She was a high school volleyball player out of North Carolina, and they allowed a male athlete on the opposing team, spiked the ball into her head so hard, knocked her unconscious, and she's partially paralyzed on one side of her body now. And that is exactly why this is necessary. If legislation like that had been passed in her home state of North Carolina before this happened to her, Peyton would have gone on and continued to play sports, and now she has to deal with the health consequences of this having happened to her. And that's why this is necessary. And also, to people calling this mean-spirited, how is it not mean-spirited to say that women and girls don't deserve the rights to their own sports teams and to feel safe in their on their sports teams and to also have privacy in their locker rooms and bathrooms and all the other female spaces? And so, again, there's always going to be critics to everything, but this is not against anyone. This is just pro-woman.
Exactly. So let's talk about Title IX for a second. I remember when that law was passed, and it was passed to create exactly what you said, space for women in academics and athletics. And yet we're now watching some of the very institutions that claim to uphold equality systematically dismantle it. Isn't that one of the greatest ironies in this entire debate?
This entire debate is just such a funny thing that we're even having this conversation. I mean, it's just, it's so backwards. I mean, we're seeing so many people trying to do mental gymnastics to really say why they even believe this. I mean, it's the same people who fought for Title IX, and then also the same women that are championing Me Too, saying, oh, believe all women. And then we say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this man on my sports team. And they say, I don't believe you, or you're lying. It's the same people. So, I mean, it showed again that there's so many activists on the, especially on the left side of the aisle, that really don't believe in anything at all. It's just whatever the newest cause is. And for some reason, they've chosen this issue to die on the hill of. And it is so silly. And again, it erases all the hard work women have fought so long for. The first wave of feminism that fought for female rights has gone so far back, so far forward, so they think that they've gone backwards.
So, Paula, here's the question that keeps me up at night. If we don't act now, where does this all lead? You've been on the front lines of this. You've seen what's coming. So I really want your honest, unvarnished take at this. What does the future look like for female athletes if we don't change course?
Well, we can start to see that, you know, coaches are going to start prioritizing recruiting male athletes. So we're going to see less females being able to compete. We're going to see females that are discouraged from competing altogether. The next generation of female athletes are not going to want to do sports. And I remember when I was first did my very first anonymous interview on this issue way back almost 4 years ago now. It's been quite a long journey on this issue for me. And I said in this interview, and I said, they asked me a similar question to Lines, and I said, when I have kids someday, I kind of hope that they're all boys, so I never have to have a daughter that goes through this. And so many people were very quick to scream at me and call me misogynistic or hateful for saying that. It's not against girls. It's just that I know how painful what I went through was. I would never want any girl to go through that. And the thought of having a daughter in this world when this is a reality was so heartbreaking to me. And again, I said that quote at 21 years old. And again, so many people were so quick to jump on that. But it was true. And it is still true in a way until we see this really completely put to bed. Obviously, we've made so many great strides. We have this wonderful executive order that Trump signed. Many states now have passed legislation for this. Actually, more than 50% of the states have. I think maybe sitting at about 27 states that have passed women in sports acts to prevent this from happening in their state. So there is hope, and we've done so much work. And even since I said that quote, I mean, so much has happened with this issue. But we have to do this. We have to do this for girls. And I know the reason I chose to fight so hard for this is I know what it was like for me as a young girl and how much sports did for me. Swimming really shaped my entire life. It taught me time management. It taught me how to be on a team. It shaped me into the person that I am. And without those opportunities in sports, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And so even one girl being denied that opportunity or wanting to quit because of this is too much.
I think that's why every parent, every grandparent, every coach, every athlete really needs to pay attention, because this is bigger than just one sport. Obviously, you were a swimmer. I was a swimmer. Swimming is where my heart will always be. But it's not just the sport of swimming. It's not just University of Pennsylvania. It's not just the winter swim season. This is about every sport that women compete in every school, in every season. This is really about the future. I hope you are blessed to have a daughter. I have a daughter. She was a great soccer player. I was thrilled to be able to watch her play both in high school and then in college. I hope that we are going to get this done and we are going to leave a great legacy for your daughter, hopefully someday my granddaughters, and we'll leave this a better place than you have found it and you have experienced it. If you could leave our listeners with one final thought, Paula, what would it be?
I mean, I think the biggest thing about all of this for me personally is really just how my life really changed in so many different ways. I know people probably don't know a lot about my background or what I was doing before this, but I studied engineering undergrad. I had no intention of ever working in politics. I was always conservative leaning, and I had always intended to be a conservative voter, but quiet about it. Being from the Northeast, you know, there's people who don't necessarily share my viewpoints. But really knowing that God put me where he did for a reason, and just having the opportunity to make change and to fight for people. And this all started, though, from standing up for what I believe in. And so if I have anything I would tell any listener, especially people who are younger or in college, don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. Don't be afraid to go where God is calling you to go. And don't be afraid to be yourself. And if there's anyone who doesn't like you or doesn't share your opinion or doesn't want to be your friend for what you believe in, you are honestly better off without people like that in your life, because you will meet so many more great people that do support you for who you are. And that was a lesson that I learned, you know, early in my 20s. And it was challenging at first, but truly, I couldn't be more grateful to all the things that have happened and all the people that I've met and being where I am, because I know that I stood by what I believed in. So really just make sure you be vocal and you stand true to your beliefs and you stay true to who you are.
Oh, it has been such an honor to have you on this podcast. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing up in a moment when, quite honestly, it would have been so much easier to just stay quiet. And thank you for being a role model and an inspiration to a lot of young female athletes, not only here in Pennsylvania, but across our nation. Where can our listeners go to learn more about your advocacy and keep up with your work?
Yeah, I'm pretty active on X. So Paula Y. Scanlon, you can check out what I'm up to up there. But I just wanted to say that I'm grateful for you just letting me on this podcast, taking the time out of your busy day to talk to me. But also, we can't do this without legislators like yourself here in Pennsylvania, but also legislators across the country and other states that have stood up to this and have stood for the next generation of girls that stand for our daughters and our granddaughters and all the women in the world. So I really just wanted to make sure you know that I'm grateful for you and your leadership and partnership on all of this. And this quite literally cannot be done and could not have gotten to even the success we've gotten so far if it weren't for people like yourself.
Well, thank you. And certainly wasn't what I thought that I was coming to Harrisburg to legislate on. I thought I was going to get rid of taxes and cut regulations. And
you can still do those things.
I can still do those things. But never, if you had asked me just a few short years ago, would I be legislating in this space? I would have looked at you like you were crazy.
I would have too.
But, you know, here we are. At such a time, in such a place, and we have to stand up for that next generation. So it takes all of us
Definitely.
To work together to advance positive change in the right direction.
Definitely.
So thank you again. And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Kristen's Corner. Again, today's conversation was with Paula Scanlon. And if you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to subscribe and share. Until next time, take care.